Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by rock royalty. Roger Daltrey is a massive Arsenal fan. He's in Memphis, but he still joined us, didn't he? It was an ungodly hour for him. I think about 10 in the morning, wasn't that?
Yeah, no. I think he's on tour time, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, that's so, right. You know. So we had a chat with him. Who else did we chat? Pat Nevin was on good form.
Yeah, he was very good form.
Good football
and
chat.
And a book thing tomorrow night.
Yeah. And we had a bit of a chat about various things.
Yeah, all sorts.
And we had a birthday spread, which was...
Not the most successful, but let's see.
Charlie, don't ruin it.
Give it away for
spoiler
people.
Spoiler alert. But it was volatile. Let's just say it was a very volatile game and the maths was a bit shonky, as you will discover. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. De Bruyne last night, Paul. You can't. Only place you can start with football, really, isn't it?
Ludicrous, wasn't
just,
it?
Just incredible. You know, he scores when he wants. You know that?
Yeah.
It did feel like that last night. Oh, if you're going to score, I'll get one as well.
With his wrong foot.
I know, yeah.
Nominally. Didn't he hit the post with his wrong foot? He cut in and hit that with his left, the one he hit the post with, which would have been his fourth goal.
Yeah, just sensational footballer.
You know, there's nothing you can do. I think the management of Wolves were saying that last night. What can you do when a bloke, when a bloke's playing like that?
Yeah.
If only they get stronger next year, that would be.
If only they could sign a striker,
Paul. That would be the concern.
Do you think? I know you're a Spurs man, Paul.
Yes.
We'll come on to that later on. Mm. Do you think Harry Kane still sits there thinking?
Oh yeah, I'm sure there's moments
when they didn't call.
When is now seems likely they're lifting the Premier League trophy on the last day of the season when he's at Carrow Road. he may think to himself, yeah, it could have been me, as the old song goes.
Yeah.
But look, you know, it was never going to be. If you sign a long-term contract with that chairman, he wouldn't have thought, you know, they would have given him a testimonial and waved him on his way. It was always going to be problematic. And that particular ship has sailed. It doesn't mean that we might not go through the same dance over the summer. A lot of that, again, is down to the chairman and the support he gives the manager and whether the manager stays. If we start to see a change in attitude and a team that properly wants to compete, especially now that, you know, Newcastle are going to come back stronger.
Yeah.
You know, if Arsenal do get Champions League, they'll invest. It's going to get tougher and tougher.
And when you say the same dance, do you think it's not the same club? Obviously not Man City.
I think it would be really funny if Gary...
They're going to do their load
if
now.
If Gary Neville took him for another game of golf and they had exactly the same conversation again. Basically said the same things.
Thing.
Yeah. Well, that's one possible way.
You wonder who could get... Approach that sort of money, you know. That's
Manchester
the thing,
United,
isn't it?
But it doesn't fit the Ten Hag pattern, and you know they're going to have other.
What is the Ten Hag pattern?
Well, I mean, he likes to promote youth talent, and so I'm sure he would have been in. He was busy last night winning the league,
yeah.
But had he not been, he probably, and I'm sure he'll watch back the FA Youth Cup final.
Yeah.
Which Manchester United won against Nottingham Forest 3-1.
Yeah.
Gotta be honest, it did turn on a pretty contentious penalty, but
it was a bad decision.
United got some very good players, young players, and 67,000 turned out. What a great treat for the guys who played. It's amazing.
And they were doing. Did you see one of them did the guy who scored the goals? Who's that for Manchester United? He just did the sweet.
Oh, he did. He did. He gave it the old.
Gave it the old Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, yeah. Okay.
A lot of people. De Bruyne did.
He did the sort of Zen goal celebration to welcome.
Doing other people's goal celebrations. Is that a thing? Is that allowed?
To welcome Haaland. I'm sure kids do it a lot. Like Saturday afternoon, they'll be going off doing the Ronaldos.
They do everything. They put both hands in the air. They don't know why.
Now, you were telling me earlier on, you're telling me a story. A mate of yours who's a comedian got in touch with you last week. What happened?
Yeah, well, I got a missed call on Tuesday night from my good friend Phil Nicol. Who runs a night at the comedy store called Cray Cray Cabaret. Good fun night.
Yeah.
Not just comedy, got a band on and comics come on and do a bit of bit of material and they sing a song with a band, you know, quite old school, but trying to drag it modern, you know, great idea. I missed a call from him Tuesday night and I thought, oh, he's probably going to ask me to do that, or he's asking me to do one later down the line. I won't give him a call back.
You know? Right, you're busy,
I'm a bit busy at the moment, a lot going on. There'll be other gigs, he'll ask me another time. He's a nice man, you know, so I won't do it this week. Anyway, I saw the photos from the gig last night and unannounced, not on the bill, was Chris Rock.
The way you told me the story on WhatsApp was beautiful, because you said anyway, so I didn't ring him back.
Yeah.
And then you just sent a picture of Chris Rock last night at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Oh dear, Charlie.
Oh dear. So you sort of go, oh, perhaps I should have gone to that. But I did think, this is definitely a text topic, Paul. You know, we can get our...
I
don't think I'll bother.
There's that time, isn't it? It might be, I don't know, theatre. It could be it's a lot of football, of sport.
I won't go.
Cricket.
It won't be any good.
Headingley 81, I'm thinking, we haven't got a chance. I don't think I'll bother. Or people think you could have gone to Amsterdam and watched the Tottenham. I don't think I'll bother. I won't go. You know, Istanbul, you know. I don't think I'll bother going. I mean, I'm not going to beat Milan. So if you have got I don't think I'll bother stories, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah.
Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Also, maybe the start of a new series. Who knows? That kind of depends on you. You often get this thing on radio in papers, on this day.
Something
famous happened on this day.
Yeah.
On this day, so-and-so was elected to become the president of whoever.
Of course, this day,
Salvador Dali was born. Oh, these sorts of things.
That's for the spread, of course.
But he's dead, so he's unlikely to get in it, I would think. Breaking news, a spoiler alert. So we were just wondering... is there an on this day derivative? We don't want to do that because, you know, obviously it's been done a lot over the years. And where does it take you? Just say on this day, Salvador Dali was one. I don't even know if he was. I think it was yesterday, actually. On this day yesterday,
Is that what you're trying to do?
On this day last Wednesday. Like your nan's. On this day, was it Tuesday or was it Wednesday? On this day or was it Tuesday or was... But no, on this day, what happened to you? This is the thing.
Yeah,
maybe this was the day that you got drunk and fell in a bush. Maybe this was the day you won the lottery.
Well, it comes up quite a lot now because of Facebook. If you're on Facebook and you have Facebook memories, it'll suddenly throw you back to a time nine years ago doing something. Or
I mean,
6 years
we'd
ago.
We'd like to be, as Stuart Pearce would say...
And you feel old and it's depressing.
Yeah, the more humourable end of the scale. So if you've got humourable tales of what happened to you or what you mark on this day, it can be pretty mundane as well. We'll bring you the best of them. So it could be an occasional feature. Could die on its backside, which is probably more likely.
Let's find
out. Anyway, talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089, tweet to TSHNJ along with your
I don't think I'll bother.
I like Charlie not seeing Chris Rock. How long did he do Chris Rock?
I think he did 20 minutes. It's like a warm up, you know, because he's just in the country. So you have to check your references. Check out, you know, you might be saying, I go to the drugstore, and everyone will go, where?
Yeah, well, no, I think they probably know that one by now. I think they get it.
I was going to buy an eggplant. What's that, Chris? It's an aubergine, Chris.
Can you ask Brian McFadden if he's ever shouted at a bin?
Yes. Well, you know, you poo-pooed that. It's still going, Paul.
Still going.
Have
people
you ever
like
shouted
that.
At a bin?
Waste life. Anyway, they never went for West Zone. We can't understand it, can we?
No, I know.
Why didn't they go with West Zone?
West Zone. I said to you earlier, it sounds like an airport car park.
It does.
West Zone.
We can always just park in West Zone. Look, it's 10 minutes, but often the bus takes 20 minutes to turn up. It's cheaper than valet, of course.
Of course it is.
The last time I parked, they put about 60 miles on me car. I took it out for the night. Anyway, yeah, Brian will be here, part of Boys Life. Not West Zone. Don't get the two confused with Keith Duffy. Brian pops in, big Manchester United fan.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, Pat Nevin joined us on the show last year when his book, The Accidental Footballer, came out.
Yeah.
He is doing an appearance at the Boswell Book Festival tomorrow, chatting to our old friend Stuart Weir conversation. Very pleased to say Pat joins us once again now. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Pat.
How are you doing? How are you doing?
Good, yeah, thank good. You. We were just chatting earlier on. We've written out in our little running order. It says, mm-hmm. Pat Nevin, former Chelsea, Everton and Scotland winger, which is exactly what you are. But we were thinking, where would Pat have played now? If he rocked up now, yeah, is he a wing back? Is he on the right of a three front? I mean, do you often wonder where you would have sort of fitted into a system, or would they have accommodated you?
I'd never played in the wing before I went to Chelsea in my life.
Really?
So I'm not a winger. So I get shoved out there. No, I was a 10, or I was, you know, the position that David Silva played for years there with Man City. You know, it's not winger. It's an attacking forward who can, you know, create space and things. So that was the kind of position I tried to play. In fact, I tried to play really like David Silva, just not quite as well as him. So, but, you know, seeing the modern game, oddly enough, when you look at it now, some of the players that, you know, are smaller but much more technical, you know, the pitches being flat, etc. There are certain players of that generation would probably be a wee bit better suited to the current form of football. And I kind of like to pretend to myself that I'm one of them. I don't know if it's true.
So that was when you trained at Celtic as a kid. Was that as a 10, really? Not as a winger?
Yeah, to be honest, centre forward as well.
Wow.
You know, a 9 or a 10, just always a goal scorer, always someone who played alongside. Because in those days, remember, you used to play 4-4-2s and 4-2-4s, etc. Mm-hmm. So you usually have a big striker and a little guy. So that's quite often, you know, the creative little guy who moved around a tall striker.
Yeah.
But then created. So, I mean, that sort of position, you know, would now be seen as, I mean, if you look at it, England wasn't great at producing them. You know, Beardsley was great at that, wasn't he, for a good long time?
Yeah.
But, you know, most of the best ones are, you know, they've been South American or they've been Spanish, you know. So, sadly, there's a wee bit of Spanish blood in my history, but it goes back about 5 generations. So I don't think I can claim that one either. But, you know, just looking at the modern players and the way the game's played, I mean, people like myself watch Pep's team and think, why could we not have done that?
Yeah.
That's the way we should have been doing it. And that's why I'm deeply in love with Pep's team. And to be honest, the Barcelona team, going right back to them, that, you know, that had Xavi and Iniesta. And,
yeah.
You know, they were just, for me, that was perfection.
Yeah.
But only because it was precisely what you were trying to do yourself, but only not as well.
There was a little bit of snickering when Ange Postecoglou came into Celtic, and a few people looking down their nose, Australian football writers about our acquaintance said, this guy's good, you know, you're in for a surprise. And, well, I think it's fair to say he's delivered, hasn't he?
Yeah, a mate of mine had said to me, he said, look, watch out for this one. Don't be caught out. This guy's quality.
Mm.
And, you know, because he's kind of a bit brusque, you know, and a bit Australian, and, you know, you think he's going to say Sheila at any moment in time. He's, you know, but he's not. He's clever. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. He's been successful just about everywhere he's been. So I kind of held off a bit and thought, well, I'll give him a little bit of time. Well, thank goodness for that, because what he's done, I was at the game last night, where Celtic won the title. And they weren't at their very, very best last night. But you consider the amount of players that he has brought in, how far they were. Was it 25 points? Rangers won the league by that last season.
Yeah.
And then he had a tough start the start of this season, and he was totally unaffected by it. He just said, no, no, I know what I'm doing. I know what my job is. I know how good I can make these players. And it has been a joy to watch. I mean, you're talking about Man City. Now, they're not like Man City, but you know what? They are so much fun to watch because the levels of effort, the levels of closing down, the high intensity, but then the quality play on top of it. Honestly, the Celtic fans, the eyebrows were raised, you know. They weren't quite Carlo Ancelotti eyebrows raised. You know, I mean, they were raised, but not that bad.
No.
So, but they were so raised, and then gave them 2 months in, and they saw, I think the first one that jumped out at most of Celtic fans was Kyogo Kurahashi.
Mm.
And wow, I've watched him in the first game. It was against Rangers, my first game I saw him in person, and I was utterly blown away by that young player. And the three players that have come in for Japan have all been fantastic. But he's now, he played a team last night where these three front three were left out, and he brought in another front three. And I thought, yeah, they're just as good.
Yeah.
And that's what he's done over a period of time. So yeah, Ange Ball, as they call it, is a joy to watch.
I'm sure you were following events in the Premier League as well, the company-year-old clubs, and it was a bit of a scrappy point for Everton last night, but it was an important one, especially with what was happening with Leeds. Maybe you still are concerned they're still in the mix, but were you getting very concerned they were going to go?
Very concerned is an underestimation of what I was feeling. I was scared to death for them because everybody could see it. They were just falling. Then Burnley got that little lift. But I suppose all along I've been saying to a lot of people as often as I can, don't write off Leeds as being part of it, because they were falling, they weren't getting out of it. They looked as if they had a little bit of cushion, but just the feeling wasn't right there. So at the moment they're in the slight box seat because it's going between Leeds, Burnley and Everton. And because they've got the game in hand over Leeds, and because they're in a little bit of a run of not form, but fight, and a little bit of belief, I've got a feeling Everton are going to get out of it this time. And do you know, when you add the top of that, if you had a look at Leeds' goal difference, you know, oh my goodness, it stinks.
Yeah.
So that might be the thing that, you know, kills them off eventually, because it's going to be tight.
Yeah. You're at the Boswell Book Festival tomorrow, Pat. We're in conversation with a friend of the show, Stuart Weir, about your book, Accidental Footballer. Will you be DJing as well, or...?
Well, I have to rush back because I've got this mad week on, because last night I was at the Celtic game and they win the league. Obviously, I'm nipping down to London for the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
Then I'm off over to Seville for the Europa League final. So if I go and start DJing into the middle of the night, they'll have to cart me about in a wheelchair. Yeah. So I think I'll leave it this time. But one of the lovely things about having written the book, and thank you to both of you, and for what you did for me at the start when the book came out, because it really has done incredibly well.
Right.
And one of the great things about it is people have enjoyed it, but you get asked to go to these book festivals.
Nice.
And they're brilliant fun. I have to say, they're absolutely great. So I'll not do the DJing, but you do meet some interesting people. So if you're up around Ayrshire and you want to have a chat, not just about my book, but just about football and anything, pop along.
And if you've got any spares for the Europa League final, Ali McCoist is still on the lookout. Ali was on there the other day saying, I haven't got a ticket. I can't believe he hasn't got a ticket.
Do you know what? I can bring you an update on that, because I was at London City Airport yesterday.
Mm.
And I walked up the stair, and there, as I stood to get on the flight to Edinburgh, was Alistair McCoist himself standing to go on the Glasgow flight. And we had a laugh and a chat, and he's getting there. He's managed to sort out, he's getting there, and I think his sons are going to sort themselves out as well. But the typical thing with Ali, and this won't surprise you in the slightest, we chatted, we told jokes, we had a laugh, and then I said, by the way, Ali, your plane's gone. And he turned around, and he was the last person, I promise you, and he'll tell you this himself, he sprinted to get on that plane.
Fantastic.
Oh, Brazil will have him for that tomorrow morning, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Go for it.
We'll pass that on. Cheers, Pat. Enjoy the book festival. Pat. Good to talk to you again.
Pleasure. Cheers, guys.
Pat Nevin there, the Accidental Football. It's a cracking read, actually.
Yeah, I
think it must be out in paperback now. And it's really good read. Great stuff.
Yeah, well, he's a brilliant pundit as well, isn't he? Yeah. He just when he speaks about the game, you know, there's an intelligence to it, and he's played and the joy of it, you know, really good guy. I like him. So he's the sort of person you'd want to pint with, isn't it? Just a couple of pints down the pub with Pat and Evan, lovely.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Out here in the fields, I found fun.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby. Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. We play the Who there because earlier on this week, I was thinking, who should we get on to talk about the North London derby?
Of course,
trying to think outside the box. And I'm reading Roger Daughtry's autobiography at the moment. Yeah. Then I read a bit at the weekend that he's gone into the beer business.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, this is telling me something. He's a big gooner as well. Mm. So I thought, well, I said to the guys, let's see if we can track Roger down. I know the Who are touring a lot at the moment. And they did, and God bless him, he joins us
now. Fantastic.
Roger, good afternoon.
Well, good morning.
Yes, you're in Memphis, aren't you, I understand?
This is the earliest I've been up for about the last 4 weeks. Because, you know, tour mode, you don't go to sleep till 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And the Arsenal's worth getting up for.
Sure. We appreciate you coming on. I know I was looking, you're playing in Memphis tomorrow night, which would suggest you're going to spend this afternoon with you, watching the North London derby, I guess.
We have fortunately today got a day off, and I'll be watching it tonight. Oh. And what a game for Arsenal. Oh, God. What a season. You know, to start the whole season the way we did, they had bad COVID going through. And to be bottom of the league. That was an eye-opener. But, you know, the way they fought back, this young team have got such spirit. It's been wonderful to watch this season. I mean, as usual, Arsenal keep you on the edge of the seat as a supporter. And it hasn't been all uphill or all downhill. It's been, you know, so nerve-wracking at times. It would have been much easier to win to Brighton than it's going to be to win tonight. But here we are, you know, this cliffhanger ending to our season and to a certain extent, same for Spurs.
Yeah. And I mean, it's worked out very well for the media and everybody. I think the fans are feeling the pressure of it. I'm a Tottenham fan, Roger, and I think we're all feeling a bit edgy ahead of this one tonight.
Well, I mean, Arsenal, they've got so much fight in them these days. Mm. We've been the jellyfish kind of team for the last 7 years in rolling over everywhere. But this year, the fight that's coming out of the team, the spirit and the atmosphere between the fans and the team is totally different. Mm. It's for the first time I've actually decided I might actually start going back to the Emirates, because I haven't been to the Emirates for about, I think the last time I was there, I was doing their charity night event.
Oh, really?
But I haven't been to a game probably about 8 years.
Wow.
I found it heartbreaking after Highbury.
Mm.
I used to just love Highbury. It was like, that was like a football shrine to me. Mm. And I loved the way it grew out of the houses.
Yeah.
Which is really what football was all about in those days.
And that's right, because you were a West London boy, Roger. Reading your book, you used to go to QPR now and again, but it was your lad that got you into Arsenal. One of your kids got you into Arsenal, and that's how you got the bug.
Yeah, the reverse way it usually is. But the unusual way of getting in. But I didn't watch a football game for almost 20 years because I saw some violence at the Rangers way back. I think it was late 60s, early 70s, when all that stuff started up with the skinheads.
Mm.
And it was horrible. And I thought, I don't want to know this game. If the game doesn't sort this out, I'm giving it up. And I never watched a game for 20 years.
Wow, wee.
And then my son came home from school one day with a red and white scarf. And I was so glad he didn't give me the M word. The MU word. I was dreading to be a blooming Manchester United supporter. I was like, oh no. But fortunately, it was Arsenal. And of course, with an 8-year-old boy, it doesn't take you long before It's Dad, when you're going to take me to football? Dad, when you're going to take me to football? Hmm. And before long, and of course, I went to Highbury. My friend lent me some tickets, and I just fell in love with it again. Yeah. And Highbury, as I say, I had a very special vibe at Highbury.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I've heard now that the Emirates is getting the same vibe. Hmm. So I've still got season tickets. I should be going back next year, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, okay, good stuff.
You'd have played a great number of stadiums and great stadiums in your career, Roger, and with The Who, one of the greatest rock bands of all time. What was the moment that you were playing as a young man when you thought, this is different, this is something, this is special? Can you still remember that moment?
It's very difficult. I suppose Woodstock was, Woodstock was a special event. It was a thing that captured the whole, if you were in America at the time, I mean, it took over the news. I mean, here today we've got the news of, stupid Partygate. Mm. I mean, all the things going on in the world, and then they're talking about beer fines. Mm. Our country is nuts. this is like, but over here, in 1969, when Woodstock happened, Woodstock dominated their whole news service. It was on the TV for hours. It was on the radio. You couldn't get away from it. So that was a kind of a massive event. And I think when you look back in history, that was the kind of beginning of the government waking up to they weren't going to be able to sustain the draft in America that was sending. Now, young kids off to bloody war in Vietnam that they knew nothing about, really. What were they doing in Vietnam? It's ridiculous. But anyway, that was quite memorable.
Yeah,
but the stadium, the one you always remember, there's two that you always remember with stadiums. And one was Shea Stadium in New York, and the other one, obviously, was the old Wembley.
Yeah.
I played both of them, and for concerts, the old one was better.
Yeah, I saw you at the old Wembley years ago. Yeah, that was a good act. Stranglers were on the undercard. I remember
a bit of concrete would have better acoustics, I can imagine.
Yeah. Now you've gone into the beer business, Roger, haven't you? Are you your place down in East Sussex? You've got a microbrewery.
Yeah, I set it up. I was just thinking we were all bored. Bored brainless during the lockdowns. And I thought, well, I've got to do something. And I've got two son-in-laws that were laid off and my son. And I thought, let's start a microbrewery. Let's see what the hell we can do. And I looked it all up, and they've got a friend who was a brewer who used to run Fuller's for 20 years, so knew what he was doing. And I gave him a bit of dosh to buy a bit of gear. Mm. And now it's up and running, and it's called Lake Down Brewery. We've got a tap room down on my fishery, which is, the whole thing is just really great.
Fantastic.
for a farming community, which is what I live in.
Yeah.
Important thing for me is that the beer is good. Mm. I'm determined to win awards with our beer, and touch wood so far, it's doing extremely well.
Fantastic. People can order Lake Down beers as well. I noticed that online, so if they want to find out more about it, they can. Before we let you go, where are you going to watch the game, Roger? You're going to watch it sort of on your own in the hotel or in a bar? Any of the rest of the band interested?
No, we've got a few other supporters on the road with us, so we'll get a gang together. We'll all watch it. We'll find somewhere with a big screen. Yeah. Well, it's very hard to get away from the TV screen. In America, they seem to throw them at you everywhere. You can't go into a bar without two TV screens with two different sporting games going on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, look, I'd like to say good luck, but I'm a Tottenham fan, so I'll say may the best team win.
Well, the best team on the night is going to win. Whether it's going to be the best team next year, after a season like this, there's only one way for Arsenal, that's up. Mm. And I think there's only one way for Spurs, because you're all getting old.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, Roger, lovely to talk to you. Thanks for joining Roger. Us. Enjoy the rest of the tour. I hope it goes well. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. All right, guys. Be lucky.
Take care. There's Roger Daughtry.
Somewhere in the middle of... Spent Memphis. His life in the middle of somewhere about to do a massive gig making people happy.
Yeah, they're playing there tomorrow night. They're touring around the States. Good evening, Philadelphia. You'll get a chance to say next week.
Yeah, smashing.
But, no, his book's great. It's really good. It's a really kind of breezy read. It's a good story, obviously. But it's just... You never quite know. That bit often you find in autobiographies, the stuff as a kid. You know, when you're reading stuff as a kid, oh, blimey, I'll get through the stuff as a kid.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
That bit's good.
His childhood stuff's really interesting. But anyway, recommend that.
He's talked about his fishery there. Nigel Botherway will be.
Didn't get around to fishing, mate. Charlie said he's got a fishery. We never had the time.
Nigel will be all over that next week.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's time for the birthday spread once again. A pretty straightforward game where Charlie and I have to guess the ages of 10 birthdays. Andy has been scouring the birthdays of the week, and he'll look for ones that he feels he can add to comedically.
Yeah,
and he says he's got one absolute corker this week.
Cast iron joke.
Apparently one he did last year.
Oh.
The biggest problem we're having with Andy at the moment is an issue with his equipment.
Okay.
And leave it, Charlie.
I didn't say a word, Paul.
I know that face, that old panto face you do. But anyway, so he may have to phone it in. Not for the first time, as I'm sure you're all shouting down the radio. But it's a simple game. We've got to try and guess the ages of the people. There'll be a margin of error. That builds, of course, as we try and make these guesses. And the one that is the less years out, the one with the smallest margin of error after 10 birthdays, is the winner. I won last week in a very narrow victory, but a good...
Got it spot on for the decider, didn't you? Didn't it, Paul?
Game
got
of chess.
Spot on. Yeah.
Touch suspicious, I could see that. So, Jeff Peters can't be with us today from the Nerve Centre. John Cadogan has decided to sit in once again, building his part, as he likes to do.
Yeah, I loved it.
I think Jeff requested me, actually.
Yes, he did. He did ask you to do it. He doesn't trust anybody else apart from you.
John's insisted on doing it.
But yes, this is... Jeff's using the East Midlands Nerve. This is the South West Nerve.
This is the South West Nerve Centre. Okay. Yellow Army.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Andy Jacobs. We're still trying to get through to Andy Jacobs.
I think he's there.
Well, he is. Your assistant producer is waving a finger. He's giving me a Billy Bowden.
So I don't think he's going to answer the phone by saying, powered by T.
Okay. So, Andy, are you there?
Well, yeah, but I'm not happy about it.
Well, you're on the phone.
Yeah, because they can't connect me up with equipment or Zoom.
Okay.
Tremendous.
Why is it? It's not our fault, Andy. We can't help. We can't do it all. We're sitting here presenting the show. We can't go out and sort out the Zoom as well. So
hopeless.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Right. You sound like you're in a comedy mood. So
absolutely. I've only spent 15 minutes trying to get on the line. Tremendous. It's not a complete waste of my life or anything like that. Don't worry about it.
Good job we didn't lose last night.
I told you
Mount would score a few quid there for sporting memories. Anyway, Andy, you've got your birthdays. You've got some good stuff, great. I understand.
Oh, yeah, not bad, yeah.
Fantastic. Bad. Well, you know.
It's a very clear line.
If that does help, it is a very clear phone line you've got.
John's phone line. It
sounds like you're doing the Mexico 70 commentary of Brazil versus England.
Great.
Okay. That didn't get him out of his fun, did it, really?
Nothing.
So,
here's another one you won't like.
Here we go, then. I'm going to go first. It's the birthday. It's the birthday spread, and I'm going first. And Andy, take it away.
Okay, and the first birthday today is the film director Amy Heckling. And she was going to Charlie's Adele gig at the Palladium, but I put her off. I knew you wouldn't want heckling in the audience.
Have you heard of Amy Heckling, Charlie?
I haven't.
No, I haven't. I mean, this is a difficult one. She could be like a kid.
It could be over on the first guess.
It could be. I'm going to go 45, Amy Heckling.
And Amy at 45. It's a very 45-ish name, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think you're absolutely right. 40.
No, 68.
Oh, old Amy. Wow. Old Amy. Now, with respect, old Amy Heckling.
Paul, you have 45, so you're 23 out. Charlie, you have 40, so you're 28 out. So 23, Paul, 28, Charlie.
A very poor start
after
by
one guess.
Yeah, I hope you're doing better at home than that. Okay, Charlie goes next on the second birthday.
Okay, a lot of these are people. I think there's only one in here that you'll actually know. So a lot of maybe two, but a lot of them are difficult this week.
week. Don't worry if there's a bit of a gap. This is the chairman of Smith & Nephew Medical Technology Company and WPP, the advertising company. Oh, he's busy. It's Roberto Quarta.
Roberto Quarta.
And he used to sit behind me at Chelsea, actually. He would continually hit me on the back of the head with a large block of cheddar that he always brought to the game. It was a quarter pounder with cheese.
Beautiful.
I mean, who knows?
Yes, and I think we're going to pluck in very high numbers today. Yeah.
72.
67.
Oh, good, Charlie. 73.
Oh,
pretty good, isn't it?
That's very good. That's made it a touch tighter, I take it.
So, Paul, you were 6 out, so you move on to 29. Charlie, you were 1 out, so you are also on 29.
Oh, okay, well, it's a battle. The scores, aren't great, but it's a battle. So back to me then first for birthday number 3.
Okay, the fashion designer, Mucia Prada. Mucia Prada. And one of her earliest jobs was in the late 70s, designing silks for jockeys. Lester Pickett refused to wear them, though, but Greville Starkey loved them. Yes, Greville wore Prada.
The thing is, like, kind of the Prada, the sort of family, there could be anything from Prada or old Prada. It could be 90-year-old Prada, could be 50-year-old Prada. It's hard, isn't it?
That's hard, Paul. And you've got to go first.
75. Ooh. Go in the middle of what I just said. What do you think, Charlie?
55.
Oh.
Oh, dear. 73.
Oh, no. Got it.
It's quite volatile, this scoring, John. It's keeping you going with the maths, isn't it?
I've got a new respect for Jeff PTC. And he has time to do his own jokes as well. Yeah, hard.
That's true. It's impressive.
So, Paul,
he's on a quality line.
Paul, so, yeah. You were 2 out, so you move on to 31. Charlie, you were 18 out, so you're on 47. So, Paul, 31, Charlie, 47.
16.
Okay,
16,
so
innit?
Charlie goes first for the next one. Here we go, Andy.
Okay, we all know him. He's the comedian Al Murray.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
And Al, but you may not know this about Al. He's got a very successful new business producing plastic entry cards for events and exhibitions. Mm. It's called the Pub Lanyard.
Oh, very good. There we are. Harold Al, what do you reckon, Charlie?
This could be embarrassing, isn't it?
I'm going to face him soon.
51.
Okay, could be a bit. I might go 52. I think you're pretty close.
54.
Oh, see, we're paying him compliments here. Shaved a couple of years off. Keep him on side.
So, Paul, you were 2 outs. You move on to 33. Charlie, 3 out. You're on to 50.
Ooh, still not much in it. We're going to half time after this one. I have to lead off. But as Andy said, we probably won't know any of the others. So, here we go.
It's Aminata Fauna, the writer, Aminata Fauna. And she's just written a cookbook based on Creole cuisine of New Orleans. The recipes are delicious. I love a bit of fornication.
Oh, dirty boy. Aminata Fauna. The, wow, it's tough.
The writer, of course, Paul.
Yeah, you know her?
Ammo, yeah.
Ammo. Bowling ammo.
Bowling ammo.
69.
Ooh. Aminata. Who knows?
Yeah,
Aminata Fauna. 69.
I've gone for.
Well, I'll go for 52.
Ooh.
58.
Oh, wow. This is delicately poised. We're going to half time. What's
going
on, John?
It's narrowed the margin a little bit. Paul, you were 11 outs. You're on to 44.
Yeah.
Charlie, you were 6 outs. You're on to 56. So 12 in it going into half time.
Okay.
12.
Well, it's all to play for in the second half. It's the birthday spread.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Welcome back to a volatile but suddenly quite competitive birthday spread with the scores at 44 for me, 56 for Charlie after the 5 guesses we've made so far. They're the years we've been out on the birthdays that Andy has picked. We had an issue with Andy's line. He is joining us down the phone. Jeff Peters isn't with us. Our producer, John Callaghan, is keeping score. Andy, birthday number 6, take it away.
Okay, birthday number 6 is the model and actress. She appeared in Arbitrage in 2012. It's Letitia Casta. Letitia Casta.
Oh.
And she's just been asked by Real Madrid to provide material for the new goalposts at the Bernabeu. They're fabulous. I love the castanets.
So what do you reckon?
What was she in?
She was in
model and actress.
The film was called what, Andy?
Arbitrage.
That makes some of
We've all seen it, haven't we?
I saw Arbitrage.
Arbitrage 2, Electric Boogaloo. Yeah. We all love that one, didn't we? Arbitrage 4, 3D, that one. Remember that? Yeah.
62.
60. I think she might be a bit younger than that. I'm going to go 41.
She's 44.
Oh, no.
He's trying to... You know, 2012, the film. So Charlie's just not on it today.
It's over. I don't know anyone.
Heck. I don't know anyone. Well, oh, heck. It's great. You know, Jeff Peters say, oh, heck.
I've written it all in the wrong column. Hold on.
I don't know anybody.
What's happening, John? Come on, in your own time,
mate. Heck. Yeah. I think that's right. Paul, you're on 47. You were 3 ounce. Yeah. So you're at 47. Oh, dear. And Charlie, you were 18 ounce. You're on 70. Four.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Okay.
That's right.
Fair enough.
It's not good, is it? It's not very good.
Next one, I'll go first. Andy.
It's the soprano Nina Stem. Nina Stem.
Nina Stem.
Yeah, Nina's got a new sideline, actually, designing living quarters in low-risk prisons. Oh. And the government asked me to examine her work. I was quite happy to do some stem cell research.
Blimey. Dunk.
It feels like you've made these people up.
Yeah. None of these people exist. It's like a fantasy game of birthday spread. It's the Pro Evo version.
Should be struck off.
I'd say you can't use the real names of people in this version of the birthdays, but we've lost the license. Nina Stem, the soprano. 68. I've gone too high, haven't I? What do you think?
41.
Yeah.
Hold on, I just got to do a quick check of Nina Stem because I think there's been an error. Hold on.
Okay. Oh,
no. I don't want listeners bombarding me, so let's have a look exactly how old she is.
Yeah, Nina Stem, yeah.
Nina Stem, yeah.
It's all working well today,
it's
isn't
going
it?
Well. It's been very well. Seen this, I think, yeah.
Well, isn't it? Yeah, I've got the age right. Yeah, she is 59.
Oh, so I said 68, you said what?
41.
41.
Not just bang in the middle.
So Paul was 9 out, you're on to 56. Paul, Charlie, you were 18 out again.
He's 18 out every time. It's the third time you've been 18
you're
out.
You're on to 92, 56, 92. At this stage, it looks unrecoverable.
This is bad, isn't it?
This has been volatile. You could bounce back.
This is bad.
This is no time. It's the mezzo-soprano this week, Anne-Sophie von Otter. She's got a weather column in the Daily Star. It's called... Yeah. Otter the Hen. This week, Otter the Hen Marbella.
Oh, nice. Yeah, fantastic. I'm glad we didn't go down the Ring of Bright Water route, but that was an otter, wasn't it?
That was an otter.
Anyway, Sophie, it's your go. Sophie Ann von Otter. No, Sophie what? Ann Sophie von Otter.
Throwing in the towel on this one, to be if I'm honest. I'm 36 behind. Is that right, John?
Yes.
So I'm going to say she is 48.
72.
67.
Oh, gosh. Butch and Sundance.
I don't think this one counts.
It's quite hard to work out this
I can't hear Andy properly. It's his line.
Oh, okay. That's what
it's
it is.
It's his line.
Yeah, that's what's done
Jeff,
for you.
Not even Jeff's putting me off.
Yeah.
I studied her work at A-Level Music. There's no topper. I just did.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
You know her work, do you?
Yeah, I know Anne-Sophie von Otter, all right.
Anne-Sophie von Otter, Van Sophie Anne.
So, Paul, you were 4 out. You move on to 72.
Hang on.
Charlie?
I was on 56 just now.
56.
Oh, no, sorry. I read the wrong column again.
Hold
on a minute. You were 5 out. You move on to 61. That's better. And Charlie, you were 19 out. Not quite 18 out. You were 19 out this time. You move on to 111. So 61, Paul, 111.
Am I just ill?
Let's lift one leg.
I tell you, he's coming out of this birthday spread very well.
Who's
Jeff
Peters? He is. He's the real star of this, and he's not even here. Okay, next one, Andy.
It's the chief executive of Vodafone from 1997 to 2003, and the chairman of GlaxoSmithKline, 2005 to 15.
All the stars.
So Christopher Gent.
Oh, yeah, Chris Gent.
Chrissy Gent. I was on my way to his house, actually, when I got lost and suddenly needed the toilet.
Yes.
I was desperate to find the Gent.
Sure, you were.
I was.
71, I'm going for. What do you think, Charlie?
88.
74. So I think I'm 3 out there, which puts me on 64. Shall I do the maths for you,
No. Come on. You're 3 out. You're on to 64, Charlie. You're 14 out. You're on to 125.
Am I allowed to declare or not?
You're stinking the place out, mate. You really are.
61 in it going into the final one.
You're not trying now. You're on the beach. Well, let's try this last one. Then I go first because I think I'm in the lead.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Dame Rosemary Cramp.
Dame Rosemary Cramp?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I saw her last week, and funnily enough, the same thing happen as last year. Yeah. Of course it did. I was in the lift with her, going from the 17th floor to the lobby, when my calf seized up.
Yes.
It always happens when I go down with cramp.
Yes.
Ah, there worse. We are. Could have been a lot worse. That's why the lady is a cramp.
Yeah.
Could have gone with that.
Could have gone, yeah. Yes, could have done. Yeah, other options.
Not Dame, really, is it? A lady can't be is a cramp.
No, that's a cramp. Are you getting workshop now, Charlie?
Just doing a pun on the word.
Wouldn't have done that if his line had worked.
I know, yeah, you know what I mean.
So I'd say Dame Rosemary Cramp is 90. Well, I've got a bit to play with. Yeah.
So I think she's...
she's either going to be about 28.
I think she's 28.
Or 150.
I think she's 28.
28.
Dame Rosemary Cramp is, in fact, 93.
Well, I had to have a go, didn't I? I had to have a go.
So I know I'm 3 out on 67. You just concentrate on Charlie, John.
It's 65, 190. Yeah, not great.
Man,
67, 190.
That's possibly the worst score since we... And that's worse than Max's worst.
I didn't think it was in the spirit of the game, the whole thing. You meant to know who the people are, surely. That's the point. Isn't it?
Well, thank you, John.
Let's just try and forget this.
Good job it wasn't on live radio. Eh? That's the important thing.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Stunk the place out. You get relegated at this.
I hope Arsenal win tonight.
Oh, he's changed. Anyway, you're back with me on Tuesday.
Tuesday,
aren't you? Is that right?
See you Tuesday.
Back with Max on Saturday.
Max Saturday morning, 9. No, 10 to 1 this
week. Oh, 10
to 1. Okay. For the summer.
And I'm back with Andy tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.